You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm here today with Sabine Jover, who is going to talk to us about her sight loss story. Hi, Sabine. Thank you for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be with you today.
Can you tell me where you're from and a little bit about your eye condition?
I am originally from Spain, but my mom is French. And I am blind since birth. I have a retina problem. I can see very dull. I have light perception. I have very little residual sight.
Can you touch upon some of your hobbies and interests which you have, including dancing?
Okay, I have many, many hobbies ranging from nature to nice Italian food, which I love, but who doesn't? I'm very much a music person. And I discovered dancing a few years ago, actually, because before it was a hobby very closed up to visually impaired people. And I do some contemporary and also oriental dancing and a bit of Latin. And for me, it's an open door to freedom, you know, when you can move as a blind person in a safe space and express yourself, express music in another way. It's completely different from playing an instrument or singing. And for me, it's a big achievement, you know, it's a big way of overcoming barriers, spatial, you know, not visual, but feeling safe and feeling free, actually. So that's what dancing is for me. It's a way of compensating, you know, urban or built environment barriers, actually. You can use many techniques, you know, working on your balance, on your coordination, and it's very useful for daily life, but also for feeling free and expressing yourself.
When did you first take up dancing?
I tried to start like 10, 15 years ago with Oriental, but it was very difficult to find teachers who were willing to make the effort to adapt their teaching to a visually impaired person. But now it's, at least here in Belgium, I live in Brussels, it has become much more open. And you have many teachers who, yeah, they take it a bit as an experiment, you know, how far can we go with a visually impaired person who doesn't have all those visual codes, who cannot imitate watching herself or himself in the mirror and so on. So it's a very good opportunity. You know, I think it's a very good time to try to push barriers and to push our limits and go beyond all those obstacles.
What adaptations have the teachers made to make you feel more welcome and included in dance classes?
Actually, what's most difficult for them, it's verbalizing everything. You can see that it's a real effort to describe. So that's the main adaptation. Then they also use references like the clock technique to describe turns, for example, in Latin, because turns are very important. And also sometimes they're very creative, you know, like putting a straw on the floor so that you can follow a line. This is useful for bachata, for example, because you really need to follow a straight line for doing your turns. And they can be quite creative. In contemporary, it's a style which is absolutely free. My teacher, she tells me, okay, you're going to follow a direction and you imagine a corridor and you're going to dance within this corridor, changing directions and so on. I would encourage every blind person to try it. You know, it can seem very overwhelming at first to start taking dancing lessons because there is all this visual environment, but I would really encourage everyone to do it because it's a different way of exploring space and the possibilities of what your body can do and express. And it's another way to relating to music, you know, to express what music inspires you through movement.
I believe you previously studied in Scotland. Can you tell me a bit more about this experience?
Yes, I indeed did my interpreting master's degree, a conference interpreting, because I'm a conference interpreter at Harriet Watt University. And it was a very nice experience. Campus is really welcoming. It's in a natural environment because it's like 45 minutes away by car from Edinburgh. It was really amazing. They really made a lot of efforts for accommodating my needs. So we had some adapted computers with JAWS in the main library where all the material for practicing was. We had to go there to access audio materials for practicing. And it was really inclusive. And the experience was very nice, especially in the spring, you know, because the winter, you know how the winter can be in Scotland. I already knew many people in campus. shows and I participated in parties and many nice events. I have very good memories of that period.
What do you now do for a living?
I am a conference interpreter. I work for the EU institutions here in Brussels. I work for the Parliament, the Council, the Commission. I came here many, many years ago, and I also work occasionally in Luxembourg and Strasbourg.
What advice would you give to anyone who is going through sight loss or things in general?
I think that regardless of the fact that you're visually impaired since birth or if you're going through sight loss, you need to do at some point a very deep acceptance work, either with a professional or by yourself. I think there are like three small things you can do on a daily basis, you know, when you're confronted to, you know, social barriers or technical barriers. I think you need to have somebody to rely on and talk to whenever you're going through hard things. And then a safe place to relax or a safe activity you enjoy doing. And then something to look forward to. Like, you know, wake up the next day and say, okay, we go on and we start again. I think being creative, engaging in some activities, being committed to a cause or doing artistic activities is very helpful for counterbalancing the hard aspects of going through sight loss in a way.
Thanks, Sabine, for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.